welcome to another episode of the Extraordinary Moms Podcast. I'm Jessica Dahlquist, your host, and every Tuesday I interview a different mom who shares their motherhood journey and the lessons they've learned along the way. If I've learned anything from interviewing such a wide range of moms, it's that no two extraordinary moms look the same. We all have a story to tell, and we are all mothering in our own way. So let's celebrate that and learn from one another. Thanks for listening, and if you like what you hear, please share this show with a friend. Today I'm speaking with Danielle Busby, and you might know her from the TLC show Outdaughtered. She has one little girl named Blake, followed by a set of all-girl quintuplets. They're the only all-girl quintuplets in the United States. And as you can imagine, I had a million questions for her about her motherhood journey, what her daily life looks like, and how it went from five babies to now five toddlers, and which is harder? I ask her those types of questions. You're going to love getting to know Danielle and her whole family today on the show. So let's get to it. All right. I want to welcome Danielle Busby today. Hi, Danielle.
Hi.
It's so nice to talk to you today. I'm so excited.
You too. Me too.
I'm a big fan of your show on TLC, Outdaughtered. Did you ever dream you would be the focus of a TLC reality show?
Never. Oh my gosh. It's like the one question people ask me.
Right.
It's like, no, I never even imagined myself would ever be on TV.
What did you pick?
A reality show.
I know. It's so crazy how new opportunities present themselves when life doesn't quite go as planned, right?
That is totally correct.
What did you envision? What did you want to be when you grew up? Like when you were a little girl, like what did you picture your life looking like?
So that's kind of funny. I always knew I wanted to be a mom, and I always knew I wanted to have like a big family.
Uh-huh.
But I never, you know, as I got older, I never really envisioned that that would really happen as far as like having a big family.
Hmm.
But, you know, back in the school days, I wanted to be a veterinarian. I wanted to be like a doctor and like the medical, like working with babies and like the labor and delivery. I was always had my mind around like wanting to be dealing with kids or babies. I just had a passion for kids. And so I knew I'd be like involved in that some way, and my total dream would have been to be a mom of a bunch of kids. But I mean, until that's happened now, I never really thought it would really ever happen.
Right. And it's kind of unfolded for you in a far different way than most anybody would ever picture it.
Sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
Well, for people that may not know you, will you just give me a little background on yourself and your family?
Sure. So my name is Danielle Busby. I'm married to Adam Busby. We've been married. We just celebrated 10 years.
Congratulations.
This past summer. And we have 1 5-year-old daughter named Blake, who just started kindergarten. And then we have 5 1-year-old quintuplet girls named Ava, Olivia, Hazel, Riley, and Parker Kate.
Wow. Did you pick their names ahead of time? Did you know?
We did pick their names ahead of time, yeah.
And do you feel like they fit their name?
I do. It's kind of funny. You know, we actually picked names out before we had them. And so just kind of knowing how they were in the womb and just like some were a lot rougher than the others. And I had a set of identical twins. And so I knew I wanted I named the twins like Ava and Olivia. They're the two vowel letters, which was kind of weird.
Okay.
I didn't catch that till afterwards. But the twins have the A and the O. And we kind of named them as they were A, B, C, D, and E babies, and we just kind of put names with them, and as they came out, they actually came out in the order that they were in the womb, which
really
doesn't always happen either. So,
how interesting.
Yeah, how we named them in the womb and, like, where each baby was placed, that's how the baby came out, and that was that baby, and the names fit to the T. It's so crazy.
That is so interesting. And I think, like, there's so much that goes into naming your child and picking that one name, because there's so many great names. But to pick that one name, there's a lot of pressure.
My gosh. And it took us a while to get this many names, and especially being all girls.
Names. I
mean, you know, you go through, like, oh, you're having a kid, and you maybe have, like, 1 or 2 girl names, 1 or 2 boy names. And we basically used all the names we wanted to, and it came down to, like, what else are we going to use?
Right. Anybody, tell us any names you like.
So we literally went, we would drive, we're from Louisiana originally, but we live here in Houston, Texas, and, well, South Houston, so League City. But we would drive back and forth to Louisiana, which is about a 2 or 3 hour drive, and we would just literally go through, like, baby names and write down stuff, and You know, when we got down to that last name, we were like, all right, this trip there and back to Louisiana over the weekend, we will have the last name picked out.
We are deciding.
Yeah, so deciding ours.
That is hilarious. That is so funny. Well, let's go back. So we want to talk a lot about the Quints, obviously, sure. But let's talk about Blake. Okay. Tell me about your motherhood journey and having your first little girl. What was that like for you, and what were those early days like?
So, you know, Adam and I did struggle with infertility to have a child, and so my dream of always wanting kids and always wanting to have a large family kind of came to a real halt, and it was a struggle. And so once we were able to, a couple years after trying and going through that route, we got pregnant with Blake, and it's kind of funny, we're just talking about names, because we had picked her name out, and her name was going to be Grace Louise, and my grandma's name was Mary Louise, and always wanted to name one of my kids after her. And, you know, and so we're pregnant, we're having a girl, and we picked the name Grace Louise, and then it's just getting closer and closer to that due date, and I just kept saying, I don't think that's her name. It just didn't feel like it. And so we picked the name Blake and put Blayke and kind of made it a little girly. And it's so funny because, like, as we see her now, like, she is such a Blake. Like, she doesn't look like she'd be a Grace
at all. Right.
But she changed our world, and she was everything we wanted. She's an amazing baby. I had an amazing pregnancy. I enjoyed being pregnant. And the day that, you know, I had her, it was just, I mean, it was, there's just no words to explain those feelings until you actually feel that. And I had everything that I had wished for and everything that I had prayed for. And, you know, a happy, happy marriage and loving husband. And now we had a kid together, and it was just unbelievable. And Blake has been our world. And for 5 years, she is our little princess. And I was never girly girl. I played with dolls like when I was at a friend's house, but I never really played with them like in my own room or whatever. But so Blake is the definition of the girliest girl
really
possible. And it's just so funny. So it's really made me become more, you know, like girly too, because I have like little, like just a little princess.
Yes,
you know, dresses funny? And it's got a twirl, and she wants to wear lipstick, and she loves to dress up. She loves makeup. She loves baby dolls. And it's just, I mean, she's a complete opposite of what I was growing
You're
up.
Like, where
and,
did she come know, from? Yeah,
I know, but she is such a joy, and she has been an amazing kid, and God has definitely blessed us with one precious little girl too.
Oh, that's so awesome. Was motherhood what you expected it to be like? I mean, those first days can be so hard and so, like, you think you kind of know what you're getting into. It's the dream. You always wanted to be a mom. But then
right.
when the little being is depending upon you 24/7, sometimes it's like, whoa, I don't have any idea what I'm doing. Did you ever feel like that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I grew up babysitting all the time.
Uh-huh.
And I was in the room when a lot of my, like my, most of my sisters, I have two sisters who are twins.
Okay.
And I was in the room for when they had their kids. I was in the room with my best friend and my sister-in-law when they were birthing their child. And
wow.
So I just felt like, oh my God, this is so amazing. And I was there, stayed those nights with them, the first couple nights, getting that experience. But yes, when you have your own and you're at home and it's, I had 4 months off from maternity leave. I was working full time at that point, and I took off, and I just remember, like, you know, this is so crazy. Like, it got to be hard. Breastfeeding, trying to get her to latch on, those days where, you know, I wasn't producing, and so she wasn't, you know, she was always fussy because I wasn't producing enough for her, so I had to supplement. And it was just, I mean, stuff that I just didn't know until I was really going through it. And then you get, you know, now I'm stuck in the house with this fussy baby who slept pretty well. 10 weeks old, she was sleeping through the night, but it was just those trials of how do I have a child and take care of it that's my own that I can't get back
or right
the hours, you know.
Absolutely. And I think that's really important to point out for you too, especially because it's like now you have Quints and 6 children in total, and that's gotta be a whole set of different challenges. But I think it's really validating for people that only have one child or 2 children or, you know, much fewer than you do to realize it's just as hard. I mean, any time you're a mom, it's hard. And so it doesn't matter if you have 1 or you have 6, it's still really demanding and challenging.
Hard.
And I think it's important to validate yourself and feeling like it's okay to feel really tired, even though it's just one. You know, I think we
that's right.
Yeah.
And I get a lot of people, you know, they'll see something if I blog or something or mm-hmm. share some photos or a story, and they'll say, I only have twins and I can't complain anymore. But
exactly.
I tell other people the same thing. They're like, I just have one. How do you do it? And I'm like, hey, one is hard and so is six.
Right.
And anything in between, you'll have just as much hard time with one as you can with six. And, you know, we've had all those same type mm-hmm. of issues and nights and sleepless nights with Lord, geez, good thing those are.
I know, right?
But, yes, they're all challenging, but,
yeah.
you know, as a, I feel like we're given that gift of when we become a mom, as hard as it is, and we go through ups and downs, we will get through it, and it's
yeah.
just a phase, and you will overcome it, and you'll look back, like, I kind of looked back a year ago, I was like, how in the world did I do that?
Right in the thick of it. It's like, this is the hardest thing, but it never stops being hard. It just transforms into a whole set of new experiences.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you get better at some things, and some things pop up that you're like, whoa, that's new. Now I have to deal with that. Totally. So when you and your husband are ready to go for a second child or second pregnancy in your case, what was that experience like? And tell me about finding out you were having five babies.
Man, so after we had Blake, we knew that we would have the struggles to have another child. And mm-hmm. so it was something that we struggled with mentally and just kind of prepping, because it's very hard to live that infertility journey and that route
yeah.
In all aspects of, like, your marriage and your spirituality and your faith and just your connection with your friends who have kids and you don't. And, you know, it weighs on you quite a bit. And so when we wanted to have another child, we definitely took a couple years and got to the point where we're like, okay, now we're ready to do this. We knew we would have to go through the same type of infertility procedures.
Okay.
So it's something that we kind of took us a while to, like, okay, let's do this. So when we did, it only took us 2 months to get pregnant, and it was unbelievable. I mean, I remember just, like, finding out I was pregnant at home, just the, you know, the test at home you do, and just freaking out.
Is it a brighter pink line if there's more than one? No.
Well, that sucker did light up pretty quick, and I don't remember that with Blake. I remember, like, when I did the at-home test, and, like, I let it sit there, and I was like, well, I'm going to let it sit one extra minute just to make sure.
Right. I know. I feel that same way. Yeah.
So when I was like, you know, peeing on the stick, and hello, it, like, just lit
Ding.
Up right away. And I was like, holy cow. Holy cow. And
yeah.
So Adam wasn't home at the time. He was already at work. And so I was like, Blake's like, what's wrong? What's happening? So I had to explain to her, like, you're having a sibling, and
yeah.
this stick showed me.
But, so weird. It's so weird.
So,
it's so awesome.
Yeah, we called Adam, and then, you know, I went and did my blood work, I think, that later that day. And so, yeah, it only took us 2 months to get pregnant this time. And, you know, that first month, and it wasn't successful. We did not try anything different or do anything different than when we got pregnant with Blake, and it just didn't work. And it, you know, I kind of mentally went through that preparation of, okay, well, how long is it going to take this time, God? Like, what are we doing now? Like, where's our plan now? And, you know,
mm-hmm.
I thought, you know, we've been praying about this, and we feel like this is the right time, and then it didn't work, right? And
right.
So I had, like, all these emotions come back, and then we went for that second month, like, that next month, and, yeah, all those kind of questions and fears that I was kind of throwing at God, he just kind of came back and said, well, here's everything you've always wanted, and it's all coming to you at one time.
Oh, my goodness.
Kinda like, what?
Yes. But, so when you went in, how far along were you for that first ultrasound?
So since I was, you know, had the infertility stuff, I was able to have my first ultrasound. I was about, like, 6 weeks.
Okay. And could they
see? So literally just right after. And my levels were so high. My doctor wanted to wait till those levels got to, I don't remember the number exactly,
yeah.
let's just say 1600 or something like that.
Yeah.
Well, the very first time I took blood work, and then I went, like, I think 2 days later or 3 days later after that, to go do it again, it just, I mean, it was like skyrocket. Because I think it like triples or doubles every day or something like that. And it just was like up there. So my doctor said, okay, well, it's high enough. Let's do it. Let's do an ultrasound. And yeah, so when we finally got that confirmed pregnancy, I kind of started freaking out because my sister's like, man, those levels are high. So I asked my friends who had twins, like, what were your levels? And they'd say, oh, like 300, 600, like something like that. And I'm like, oh, okay. Well, mine's like really high. It's way higher than that. But then I had a friend who had like really high levels, but she only had one. And so I just thought, well, we're all different. I don't remember what mine was with Blake. So let's just wait till the ultrasound. We saw the ultrasound. It confirmed I was pregnant, and we only did really see one sac, like one baby. So I was like, praise God, we're pregnant. One. It's confirmed. We're there. It's awesome. And so long story short, from that appointment to the next one, which was about a week or 2 weeks late, 10 days, so about two weeks later, we go in and do another ultrasound, and there was three. There were three sacs that we could see, and it was just a big shock. We were having triplets at that point, and, you know, we're like, holy cow, we are just, like, blown away. And I'm thinking, you know, me and my husband always joked about, you know, I say, well, you better hope for twins the second time we get pregnant, like, the second time we have a child, because we're not doing this again. Like, this is it.
It's a lot, yeah.
Get pregnant, like, we're done. And so it's kind of part of our godly humor that, you know, you knew we were only going to do this one more time, so bam. But, so yeah, that appointment, we found out there was three, and as he was kind of just scanning over, looking at my ovaries and just making sure everything was okay, there was another one hidden just way down there, which that day we saw and heard all four heartbeats, and so it was real. There was four babies in there, and we had the fear and the talk of what's going to happen now, and when we come back in about 10 more days to do another ultrasound, it's possible that there won't be four because, you know, some might strengthen a lot more than others. And, you know, so in my eyes, in my heart, I'm like, I hear and see four heartbeats. Like, I don't want anything to happen. Yeah. And I don't know what our life's going to be like yet.
Right. So did you let yourself think like, okay, we're going to have five kids now? Or were you kind of just like, let's hold off till we get too excited? You know what I mean?
No, I mean, it definitely was, obviously our family knew that we were going to our ultrasound and, you know, and my husband's a real jokester. And so it was a joke that we have like a family group text message that, and we're just going back and forth, and he's like, it's more than one. And everyone's like, twins. They're like, nope. And they're like, triplets. And then he's like, nope. And they're like, okay, Adam, you're kidding. We know you. You're joking with us. And he's like, it's four. And it was just like, holy cow. It did not hit me until later.
Okay.
I literally, Adam is about to pass out. Good thing he was sitting down because his face turned beet white. But I literally was laughing. Like, I'm telling you, I literally could not stop laughing because I was just like, this is a joke, right? Thank God. Like, you picked me for this? Like, I'm going to have four babies in one time. And
they're all going to fit? Yeah, right.
I just thought it was so funny because just a month before, I'm, like, going through this phase of, like, okay, God, like, what do you want from me? What are we doing here? We're trying, and please don't let us go through this whole years and years of trying to have another baby. And you know, and so it made me laugh, and I thought it was funny, and, you know, by that next time we go back to our appointment, never in our mind would we think we would ever see more. We were thinking, if anything, there wasn't going to be four, so we were praying, like, the healthy, just let's keep four. And we went back, and the very first time that ultrasound goes on, I immediately saw two. Like, it was that clear today as me, and I was like, oh, my God. And I look at Adam, because I can tell what it is. And I look at him, and his face is like, he's just head's, like, shaking.
He's like counting, like, oh,
and
gosh.
So the doctor kind of just, my doctor kind of doesn't say anything, but kind of, like, quickly scans the others to see if something split. And luckily there was no more splits, but that one did split. And so that's where we got the fifth baby from. So that's this Ava and Olivia, the identicals in there. And so, yeah.
Wow.
It just kept getting more and more. I mean, it was like my father-in-law was like, "Let's stop doing ultrasounds."
Yeah, you need to stop going in.
Every time you go, you get more and more babies.
Oh my gosh! And so once you got a little further down the road and realized, okay, these babies are doing well, and I'm doing okay, and I mean, how did you kind of reconcile like what your new normal was going to look like in a few months?
It took me about 2 weeks mm-hmm. I was just in awe over, wow, this is going to be our life. And, you know, my husband's, I saw it very differently from that first reaction. And it took me about 2 weeks to finally like hit me. And I wasn't crying as far as like, I was upset about it. I was crying and like, it just hit me, all those emotions. Yeah. And I just started crying, and I remember us being in the car, and I was just like, how are we going to do this? Like, how am I going to do this? I was very athletic and fit, and I love to work out, but I mean, I was 115 pounds, and I'm like, how am I going to have 5 babies in this body? And
yes.
I never felt so small in my life ever. But, you know, it just, after a couple just conversations between us and just praying, we just kind of just got this peace about like, this is so extraordinary, and this is so, it's not anything that we would have ever envisioned in our life. We've never thought that we would be these people. I feel like I'm watching someone on TV, which is comical, mm-hmm. but you know, I just feel like this was God's plan. And as I look back at my life and just see all the things that God has prepared me over the last 30 plus years. And it was to get me to this point. And, this is my purpose. And wow. I'm here to be this mom of these quintuplets and Blake. And, I really do feel that all my gifts and things that I've learned in my life and my career that I no longer have.
Yeah.
I use everything daily so much because it's so much that I used to do in my past job that I have to take on and do at home with the kids. And wow. Yeah, so it's definitely one crazy, amazing, extraordinary life.
Yeah, that's a great outlook. Can you point to anything specifically that really you feel like you're equipped with to be able to handle something like this? I mean, like you said, at first you're just like, me? Like, I'm not cut out for this. But now going through it, what do you feel like got you to this point that you're prepared for this?
Oh man. It kind of came in waves really with mm-hmm. just whatever phase we were going through, but the comfort in the pregnancy and having such a high risk pregnancy came with just prayer and just having a peace about I'm not fearful. I'm not scared. Mm-hmm. This is an extreme, horrible, high risk situation where, you know, I have quintuplets, but I have a set of mono twins, which the mono twins are ones who share one placenta, which made it that much more high risk. So there could have been the twin to twin transfusion, where one kind of takes over and the other one could not make it. And so it was just that much higher the level of, high risk. And I just came to the conclusion that there's nothing that I can do about what is happening, but I'm going to do everything in my mind and everything in my body that I can to do whatever I can for these babies. And that was my job, was to eat.
Yeah, right. To fuel them.
To eat 4,500 calories a day. And
what were your go-to foods?
Nothing. I hated everything because I had to eat all the time.
Now with it's not Blake, even fun. Like,
with Blake, I was pickles and ice cream, like for real, like pickles and ice cream.
So stereotypical. Yeah.
I had to have chocolate milkshakes all the time. I mean, I had to have so much fatty, high calorie stuff that I'd never wanted ice cream, which is like my number one thing I love. Oreos, like just all that stuff. It's like I just had to pound it in because I was feeding 5 babies. And
you're an Olympian. Yeah.
I just did not have any cravings at all. I was never hungry. I never had cravings because I literally had to eat on the clock.
Wow. And as they grew, I'm sure there just wasn't that much space, and it was probably uncomfortable.
So I had horrible indigestion because not the fact that I have like 5 babies just in here, but I have nowhere for this food to just like digest and like go out and in my ribs. I can't breathe. And man, it was an experience. I was so sick before we found out it was five girls. I kept saying, we're totally having a boy because I'm so sick.
Yeah.
So sick. And I was not sick at all with Blake.
Interesting.
And it was the my sisters who are twins, like one had a girl, I had a girl. Second time around, she had a boy.
Oh.
And then I was like, oh, I'm so sick. I'm totally keeping the chain going. I'm having a boy.
Nope.
Just five girls.
And so you guys are the only all-girl quintuplets in the United States. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Yeah, that's pretty rare. I mean, the odds were not in your favor to just have one gender.
No.
That's really interesting.
I think it's happened twice.
Yeah, interesting.
Ever.
Wow, that's amazing. So how long did you carry them before they were born?
The doctor's goal was to get to 28 weeks.
Okay.
Which was kind of like that full term, like, because when you get the higher multiples, you
right.
know, 40 weeks is full term. It's
right.
Like 37, 30, you know, it goes
right.
down. So 28 weeks was the big goal. And I really, really, really wanted to get to 30, but I only made it to 28 in 2 days.
Yeah.
But hey,
yeah.
I made it over 28.
That's amazing. Did you keep a pretty, like, quote unquote, normal life until then? Or were you on bed rest? Or what did that look like?
So I was working and working full time, and just probably around the 2 month mark of just like, I found out I was pregnant, and I'm working in around December. I found out I was pregnant like September, October, I think,
mm-hmm.
something like that. And came December, and I just, my body just could not keep up. The waking up early, all this eating, I couldn't eat as much as I could at being at work.
Mm-hmm.
And I literally just couldn't do what I needed to for the babies. And so I did, it was just getting really hard on my body, and I wanted to make sure that they were the priority. And, so I did quit work. I just basically took it as easy as possible. And Blake was in daycare, kind of like I took her. She was in full time, so I took her down to like just part time, so that
mm-hmm.
we could actually have time together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I never officially went on bed rest where I couldn't do anything. It was just my doctor kept saying moderation. Just, you know, if you feel pain, if you feel it's too much, stop, lay down. And, you know,
right.
Adam would come home and say, lay down, lay down. I was still vacuuming, and like, up until I went to my 25-week checkup. And
wow.
That was when my doctor, it just was so hard to see the babies in the ultrasound.
Yeah.
You know, we started really early just trying to find the sex out,
mm-hmm.
just because it's not a lot of room in there to see that.
Right.
And so when I got to the 25-week mark, my ultrasounds were just, they were miserable because I couldn't lay back.
Ugh.
And the second I'd have to readjust and like get comfortable, it really, you had to really kind of start all over because like, well, what baby is this? Was this the baby I just looked at?
Or
is this a new baby? What arm goes with this baby? You know? So it was really intense to have ultrasounds. It took like anywhere from like 1 to 2 hours just to get the ultrasounds like done. Which were every other week at that point.
Wow.
And so when it got to 25 weeks, they just got to the point where they can't really, they're in their location and they're not really going to move at all.
Mm-hmm.
Like you
right,
see
they're kind
down
of stuck.
Here, A and B here,
mm-hmm.
and then D and E are up here. And so he just kind of wanted me to get daily monitored. And at that point, so I did go into the hospital at 25 weeks,
mm-hmm.
get monitored daily,
mm-hmm.
check their heart rates. And I had an ultrasound every week. There at the hospital, but I mean, I was up walking the floors, looking down the cafeteria, and you know, we had like little group stuff at the antepartum floor that
yeah.
We'd have a social hour and stuff.
Right.
And so I wanted to walk into the labor room. I mean, the delivery
yeah,
room.
Wow.
I was like, can I walk in there?
Wow. You're amazing. I love that spirit about you. That is so awesome. And you did it. You're amazing. So you have your five girls, so now you have a total of six girls, and
mm-hmm.
I mean, so were they in the NICU for a little while?
They were in the NICU for a while.
Uh-huh.
Obviously, they were born before their lungs were mature,
mm-hmm.
so that was a big deal.
Yeah.
They went in the NICU for, Parker came home 8 weeks later, and then Ava was the last one to come home, and she came home at 12 weeks. So Parker, it was
yeah.
like 36 weeks gestational for Parker, and then Hazel came like 2 days later, 3 days later.
Yeah.
Riley and Olivia came together like 2 weeks later, and then Ava came another 2 weeks later.
What was that like having them trickle home? Was that hard having them separated and not having going all in one place, you know, to visit?
It's hard because part of me is like, it gave us a little bit of sense of, you know, like, here's one baby, here's two babies.
Right, it eased Jess in, yeah. Oh,
okay, and then when we got four babies, it was kind of like, holy cow. So it kind of eased us okay. into having to do it ourselves, right, without mm-hmm. the doctors and nurses. However, the hard part about it was once I had these babies home, I couldn't take them back to the NICU. And mm-hmm. so when I got discharged, my daily routine, I have all my babies in the NICU, which was, oh God, the hardest day of my life when I had to leave up there. But I would go bring Blake to her preschool. I'd go up to the hospital, which we live in South Houston. And so it was a good 40-minute drive with traffic, 45 minutes with traffic and stuff. I'd go up there. I'd see all the babies. I'd nurse whichever babies I could on the time, depending on trying to get there for the 10 o'clock feeding. I'd do one baby on one side, one baby on the other side. I would then bottle feed the other two, go have some lunch, and go see Ava, who was always last to see. And then I would feed her on one of the
Oh, my gosh. That's
and
nuts.
And then I'd start back over the next day. And then, so I'd be there from 10 to 2 every day. And literally, I'm just like, circulate.
I mean, did you even have time to like really think about what you were doing? Like, did you realize how insane that pace was, or were you just kind of like an autopilot?
No.
You just do it, right?
It was. Wow. It just was the schedule. And, yeah. You know, I had a schedule with Blake as far as, mm-hmm. you know, just that we could still be our own normal people. And we just have a kid that came into our life and we can do what we want still. And she can come with us. She can go to anybody. She can see anybody. She's a happy baby. Yeah. So I had her on a schedule, and I knew that that was going to be pretty adamant when I had quintuplets. And,
right.
You know, I would go. It just became the routine. I wake up, bring my plate to school, go to the NICU, feed. I would have lunch in between seeing the last baby, and then let my milk kind of like replenish.
Oh my gosh.
And then I would just head home. I would head to get Blake from school before traffic got real bad, and then I'd go home, do dinner, and then start all over again. It was like Groundhog Day.
Totally. What was the absolute hardest part? I mean, there's a lot of hard parts about this, but is there something that like sticks out in your mind that might surprise us?
Well, two things really. The hardest part about having the babies was definitely the NICU. Mm. I don't think anything over trumps having babies in the NICU. And that's honestly speaking, having five babies home at one time in me and my husband's care. Mm-hmm. The NICU was just, it's so hard. Especially so small and everything's so fragile in there. And there are days that, I mean, and they actually flew through NICU and did really amazing.
Yeah.
And it's just still so hard. And then once they were all home, the hardest part about it was I never slept.
Yeah.
I mean, anyone knows, like, if you're not sleeping or if you're not eating, like, you're just unhappy. Like,
right.
It's hard. And so we thankfully had an amazing group of friends and family and our church friends who came on like a scheduled rotation to help feed. And, you know, people always say when you have your kid, and I was just watching This Is Us the other night. And so, you know, like, why are we not sleeping? Oh no, it's Grey's Anatomy. They had the baby. I was watching it last night and she's like, she's sleeping. Why are we not sleeping? I thought it's so true. Like,
yes,
people told me that when I had Blake. Sleep when the baby sleeps. And I never did because I'm like, I need to do this. I need to do this. She's sleeping. Mm-hmm. Well, when I had these babies, I learned 20 minutes of sleep is 20 minutes of sleep. And that is a bunch to me. And so when their eyes are closed, I'm closing my eyes. Like that literally was the lifesaver across probably the first 4 or 5 months with them being at home, because we literally worked on about 3 hours of sleep. And that's like naps here and there.
And like cat naps.
Yeah, and then Adam, my husband, was at home for a little while. Like, he took a couple days off. I said, I can do it. I don't want you to take a bunch of days off until I have at least four babies home. And so, thankfully, we went 1, 2, and then 4. So, he took a couple days off. And then we went to work. And then I had, like, some people help out. And then once Ava came home, he took about a week off. And it just, I mean, he had to go back to work. And so I had to let him sleep at night.
Right. I know. And it's, you're so jealous when they walk out the door to the office, right? And you're just like, take me with you.
Yeah. You're like, you have to go to work.
And you love these.
Let's just switch for one day.
In one day, it's like really all it would take to just like rejuvenate you. So how did you take care of yourself? Was there anything that you went to in order to recharge or just to kind of have a sense of happiness outside of taking care of these precious babies?
I mean, honestly, a lot of it came with the after, because like all of my friends, like all my best friends, most everybody in my neighborhood that I'm close with has kids of their own, and so I had no social life for sure by any means those first months and months of having babies home. And you know, I was regularly seeing the same faces come, family and friends and some church friends come in, but it's like I still miss like my social nights, like where's my wine and where's my best friends, like let's just chit chat. And so what really became my like social hour was usually the 10 o'clock p.m. feed, which was kind of like our last feed for the night. So usually like my best group of girlfriends, after they got all their kids to bed, they would do what they needed to do. They would, before they went to bed, they'd come over.
Aww.
And we would have literally like a glass of wine and feed babies.
Oh, that's so nice.
It really was, my mom would always say, you need it. They're here. They can do it. Go sleep. I'm like, but this is my social time.
Right. I need this.
But it was like maybe 2 days a week that they would come over like a Tuesday, Thursday. And that would just be like, let's catch up. And, you know, and so I needed that. I needed that, like, where are my friends, but not talk about baby stuff. Like, let's just catch up on our housewife shows and our TV stuff.
Yeah,
yeah. You know? So, yeah, that really just made me feel like I'm still like a person, not just like a quintuplet, six half girls, six mom, you know?
Right. No, totally. And sometimes people think like, oh, you know, I don't have time to exercise, or I couldn't possibly get up a half hour earlier. But if you're doing something that really kind of fills your own bucket and makes you feel better, it's worth, you know, losing half hour of sleep or something for the benefit of that activity.
And that's true. And I mean, I was very fitness oriented before I had the babies, and then I didn't have a C-section when I had Blake. And so having a C-section and recovering was very different for me. And I was so tired, but there was something that I was just missing of that peacefulness. And so there was, you know, a lot of days that I would wake up, and once Blake would get to school, and I would have somebody at the house while the babies were sleeping, and I would just get my phone, headphones, and I'd go. I had to start back with the walking around the lakes, which killed me, but finally got to the point where I could, like, run again. And just, you know, the fitness side of it is just such a de-stressor, and it's just a relaxing moment for me. So sometimes it meant I could make it to the gym. If not, it was just, let's go outside of the house for, even if it was 15 minutes and like walk around the lake or something, you know?
Yeah. It doesn't have to be long periods of time, but any little, pick up a book for 15 minutes, go on a walk or a run for 15 minutes.
I can't do a book then because I would totally fall asleep.
Yeah, no, that's true. That's true. What season are you in? Yeah.
I know what you mean. Yes.
Yeah, for sure.
You can have like some solo time and just like kind of just forget about things and just like enjoy whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a manicure. Maybe it's reading a book. Maybe it's waxing your eyebrows.
Exactly. I was watching your show the other night and was cracking up because you and your husband were doing rock, paper, scissors on who was going to go to the grocery store. And it's like, that is parenting, you know, like that is true motherhood. Like who gets 20 minutes, and your mom even called you during, like, you got to get home. Like the babies are going off, you know?
Yes. I mean, grocery store shopping was like, that was the outing.
That was your vacation, right?
I mean, still to this day, sometimes I go to the grocery store at like 9 p.m.
just to wander.
It's like an hour before they close or something. I'm like, it's just me. There's no one here.
Right.
It's just, I'm going to look at every aisle.
Because I can. I love your mom too on the show. So for people that aren't familiar, you guys have a TLC show called Outdaughtered. When did they approach you about that show? And did you have any like reservations? Or were you super stoked to have that offer? What did you think?
Yeah. So actually, whenever I was pregnant and had my blog going, it was mostly because all of our family and majority of our community family, friends, everywhere we grew up is back home in Louisiana. And it was just an easy way to keep everyone updated.
Yeah.
And then it kind of just blew up a little bit and kind of just got out there and more people started following, and it was just kind of weird.
Yeah.
But it just became a big story and people started like, you know, kind of adapting to it and, you know, enjoying it.
Yeah. Well, your novelty. Yeah, yeah, right.
I mean, at one point we had just a lot of people kind of reaching out to us and just emailing us about, I can get you a show. I can get you a show. And we were just like, blah, 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 whatever.
Okay. Whatever.
But it never was something that we ever thought we would even do or people would ask us to do. But we got involved with this guy named Brad, who's our producer now still. And, you know, it just was kind of those things that we just felt connected and we felt that this was where our journey was going to go. And it started off with just kind of like making like a documentary type thing, and
yeah,
it's going to film my birth, and it kind of just turned into him just kind of saying, you know, I really think that we could make something of this, and it just went from there. I mean, we did a little sizzle reel, which is kind of like a little snippet of just who we are, and,
yeah,
just our story, and it kind of went to TLC, and they picked it up, and, you know, the rest is 2 seasons ago, almost.
That's so awesome. Well, you're such a likable couple, and you can tell there's just so much love there, and obviously your faith plays a big part in that, and so it's just like, it's so enjoyable watching your family, and you know, we're rooting for you, you know? It just feels good to watch it, because it's like, wow, that's hard, and wow, I don't know if I could do that, but yeah, you're doing it. You're proof anybody can do it and step up.
Yeah, and I think it's such a fearful thing that people think about when they say, oh my God, you're doing a show, you know, because look at the statistics of what's happened for other shows, and, you know, it's going to ruin you, blah, 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 blah. But, you know, Adam and I, we have a faithful marriage and a strong marriage, and, you know, God is the center of us, and we believe that this journey is to glorify Him and to share His story that is living through us, and we will do that as long as we can and as long as we feel that that's where He's guiding us to. And we, is this easy? Is it, you know, always fun? Is it always, no, I mean, but that's
part life.
Of anything. That's part of life. And I mean, I can say that same thing about parenting, the same thing about marriage and just friendships and everything. So this is another aspect that we try to do it at the best of our ability and to definitely share our story, because, you know, you never know who you will touch, just one person who it may affect and could change their life. And, you know, I feel like there's a lot of hope in what we've gone through, and I'm happy to, you know, share that. And it's definitely fun for sure. I love the outcome that my life was captured and documented. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like an amazing little journal. And especially that first season of, I just don't remember a lot because I didn't keep it all. So when I got to see all that, it was such an eye opener, and it was like, oh my gosh, like, this is so unbelievable. Cause like, I mean, I cry, everybody else is crying, but guess what? I cry my eyes out. Cause I'm just like, holy cow. I just felt like I was watching someone else's life. You know, it's like, but it still hits me every day. Like, this is real. Like, these babies are ours. Like, every day there's something that still triggers you and you're like, this is unbelievable.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. As a mom, like, it's, you don't get much opportunity to step back and look at your own life from like an observer's perspective. So I bet that is really beautiful, seeing, you know, all those moments that you might have missed because you're just doing what you have to do on a daily basis. Yeah. But to really watch
I'm always on the go. I'm always on the go.
Right.
I might be in the walls of my house, but I'm always on the go.
No, totally. Well, now that, so the babies are one, is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they actually just turned 18 months old.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So what's harder, babies, like newborns, or moving toddlers?
Oh gosh. well, when you take it five at a time.
Yeah.
you know, that's hard to compare because it's so different. You know, I mean, we went through like that phase of like feeding them all day and night,
right?
Which was super hard. But then once they got to where they were sleeping through the night, or once they got to where they could hold their own bottle, or
you know, those milestones,
like, oh yes, this is nice. But then guess what? Then you got to start feeding them food. You got to start feeding solids, which then adds another step into there, and then which gets messier. Then they start crawling, and you know, so it's definitely, I feel like it was definitely harder back then, because it was all so new and all so much at one time, but mm-hmm. doesn't mean that it's not hard now.
Right.
I just feel that I'm a little bit more adjusted and I wouldn't even say I've got it like completely figured out. I'm a little bit more adjusted to having the babies all together. Doing everything.
Yeah.
But let me just tell you, like the toddler phase of like crawling, not even crawling, crawling to me was fun.
Yeah.
Once they get to the walking entitles them to
running,
like, crawl over things.
Yeah. Right. And running away from you.
So,
yeah.
Walking and climbing are, it's just, man,
constant.
It's everywhere. And it's not like, it's not like you're just, oh, okay, I see you over there. It's, wait, where are you?
Right, right.
Which way did all of you go, you know? So there's definitely gates around and contraptions around, but they all figure it out.
They're on the move.
And they'll figure out how to open that gate, or they'll all push it, make sure it slides across the floor so they can sneak through there, and which you'll see a lot of that on the show.
I love that. People definitely need to see all these babies in action and see you guys in action wrangling them. It's amazing. So in terms of Blake now, do you ever feel like it's tough juggling five babies and having an older child as well? How do you give her special attention and that time she needs to not feel overshadowed by babies that are really demanding?
So that's probably the number one asked question that I get across the board.
Mm-hmm.
And it is hard. It's hard. I mean, Blake was 3 years old whenever we found out we were pregnant. And so for 3 years, but take it, she turned four 3 days before I had the quince. So for 4 years of her life, it was all Blake. And was she spoiled? I'm sure she was. But hey, she was
like any first child. Yeah. Yeah.
But I honestly can say that she probably still to this day gets most of the one-on-one attention because she is Blake and they are the Quints.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel with her being older and, you know, when I'm with the Quints, I find it's harder to actually give them one-on-one time than it is to give Blake.
Okay.
Because when I'm with the Quints, I'm surrounded by the Quints. And so it's hard to, like, take one out of the situation and do something, especially at this point, because they're, they're still babies.
Right.
Now, it might get older. It might get easier as they get older and I can, like, take them and, you know, that kind of thing.
Right.
But at this point, it's hard. But Blake, Blake probably gets the most one-on-one attention. And, you know, she's very girly. So since she's been 2 years old, she comes with me every time I get my nails and my manicure, pedicure. And if I don't take her with me, she is quick to notice.
Really is that quick. A new nail color, Mom? Yeah.
But, I mean, she loves, I mean, she loves just a lot of one-on-one stuff. Like, let's just read a book.
Yeah.
Swing with her. Just anything that's definitely just you and her. It can be at home in a different room, or it can be getting ice cream or at the park or something. She's a very happy, sweet, lovable kid, and I tell people too that it's something God has prepared in her too to make our life this way and to work this way. He molded her to be who she is, and she is just like the sweetest, kindest, like, I don't even know how she got so sweet.
Aww, I'm crying thinking about her. That's so sweet.
But she just, I really do feel that God has prepared us to prepare her in his work through her, because she never really has had, like, you know, I know in the show they show a lot, like, of separation of, like, for her. But honestly, I mean, there's been phases for sure, but I've never really felt that I've, like, am not having that quality time with her. Because the babies are, you know, the babies go to bed at 7 o'clock, and when she loves her sisters and they love her, and so when she gets home from school, she wants to play with them.
Yeah,
she wants to see them. But she wants, you know, they go to bed at 7, and so Blake goes to bed, and that's usually all the time that we'll, you know, hang out with her, and it's still me, Adam, and Blake who actually eat dinner together, which is so weird because the babies go to bed by the time we eat.
Right.
And so we still have that, like, family, kind of our old family time that we sit down and talk about the day or whatever. Blake's real into talking about her life when it's time to go to bed or time at dinner time.
And yeah.
So
I really like that perspective, and I think that's true regardless of what your family situation is, because some, you know, times you feel bad for, you know, like, we're in the military, so we move a lot. Mm-hmm. And so I feel so bad for my kids having to uproot them and everything, but I think if God calls your family to something, then he calls your family and equips all of you. So it's not just you dragging them along on your journey. It's like your family's journey. And I think that's beautiful how you just said that. And this is your family's journey, and your calling is to mother and, you know, nurture these kids. And that's just beautiful. I feel like I just want to talk to you forever, but you have babies to go attend to. But Danielle, I always ask my guests one final question, and I love it, and this is it. What would you tell your pre-motherhood self?
That you will not know it all, but you'll figure it out. Mm. And that it's going to be hard, but don't run from it. Use your abilities and strengths that you know you have. And if you're weak in some, seek God for that strength, or seek friendship, or scout out there who can help, who can advise me with this, and who can help me. And there's so much ease now to find, how to do things, and, you know, just kind of like communities. I mean, I know where we live, we have a lot of like support as far as like moms and multiple groups, and just, you know, reach out to communities and, you know, to see what you can, you know, get from that.
Yeah.
Because I've learned a lot from having to do that on my own, and reach out with groups of moms who have high multiples, and just being connected with other multiple moms in the area. And just, there's not many people that can relate to the issues or the struggles that I have, but these moms can. Mm-hmm. So you find that community and that connecting factor, and it will make things a lot more peaceful.
Yeah, I love that. And regardless of what makes your family unique, there are resources for everybody. And you may not feel equipped to begin with, but there's definitely ways for you to learn so much and grow so much. And you're evidence of that. You are such a delight, Danielle. I wish I lived next door so I could go help you go on a walk, or, you know. You're really amazing, and I want people to tune in to the second season of Outdaughtered on TLC, which is just the most darling show. It is so great, and I've loved getting to know your family through that. And thanks for taking the time to chat with me today. You're truly an extraordinary mom.
Oh, thank you.
I think you're so awesome.
You having, finally getting
Yay!
On here.
Oh, it's been worth the wait. So I hope you have an awesome day, and thanks for chatting with me.
All right, bye.
Bye. That was so fun talking to Danielle. I mean, I wasn't joking when I said I could have talked to her forever, but I know that she had kids to attend to. So thanks, Danielle, so much for being on the show. Man, what makes her extraordinary, though, is not that she has 6 kids, including quintuplets. What makes her an extraordinary mom is the intention that she has behind her parenting, and the faith she has, and the perspective she has about just getting through hard seasons and enjoying life and appreciating what she has. That attitude and that outlook goes a long way. And no doubt some of those sleepless nights had to be, oh my gosh, exhausting to say the least. And we've all been there. We've all had those nights. But she never gave up, and she never let that really get her down. She kept going. She kept waking up every day, even though it was like Groundhog Day, and kept having a good attitude. So I definitely recommend this show, Outdaughtered, on TLC. Season 2 comes out November 15th. But until then, you can watch reruns of the first season on TLC. Just check your local listings. In the show notes, I'm going to put resources to all of her blog, her Instagram, anything that can help you connect with Danielle and their family and follow along in this really fun and amazing and inspiring journey that she has put out there for all of us to enjoy as well. She's such an inspiration to me, and I love chatting with her. So thanks, Danielle, for being on the show. As always, you can go to extraordinarymomspodcast.com. and find information in the show notes, family pictures of the Busby family, and definitely check out TLC's Outdaughtered, which comes out season 2, November 15th. I hope everyone has an awesome week, and I'll see you on Friday for another episode of the Extraordinary Moms Podcast. Have a great day.